Will you bow your heads with me as we approach God's throne today? Our loving Father in heaven, our gracious King, indeed we come before you today looking for a blessing. And Lord, you've told us we've come to the right place. So speak to us now, for your children are listening. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There we go, stuck like glue. The day comes to nearly every household. Nearly every family has to deal with this question. Now, some embrace the question and others dread it. But the question comes to nearly every family, every parent. Mom, Dad, can I have a puppy? Or kitten, or some type of pet. Every family has to deal with this. Now, as a child growing up, I enjoyed pets. Pets are fun, they're loving. But those children who desperately ask for that pet, they sometimes never truly understand the work that goes into owning a pet. There's a price to pay to own an animal. There's money to be spent for food and for going to the vet. There's time demands like taking a little puppy for a walk in the cold of winter or changing the litter pans. They don't change themselves, do they? Well, before long, that work of taking care of the pet can wear down that youthful enthusiasm that was so desperate to have that dog or cat. And then the pet becomes just another chore. We lose that excitement that we had when that puppy first came home into our house. Tragically, this can actually lead to once loved animals being neglected or even given up on. Well, the Bible warns against losing our first love. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, it says that we can lose our first love of Jesus over time. There are aspects of our lives that start off being so important, so exciting, like owning a pet, or even our walk with God. And over time, things start to lose their luster. As we look at our world today, as we look at society today, there is something that I believe is in grave danger of being neglected, of being given up on. Something more important than even our pets at home. Today, will you agree with me that family is in danger in our society? Family is in danger. We hear about marriage being under attack. But from all of those outside dangers that are out there, confronting marriage and confronting the family, the greatest danger, I feel, is the one of neglect. Too many marriages fall apart today because of losing our first love. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church decided that February 9th, this day, this Sabbath, was going to be a Sabbath to emphasize family, to emphasize and celebrate marriage. And my friends, families are important here at Piedmont Park. Amen? They're important. They're the backbone of our society. They're the backbone of our church. And we at this church believe in a strong focus on family. And I'm not just talking about parents and kids, but I'm talking about family. Brothers and sisters, grandparents, extended, adopted families. Why is it important? Well, you're going to help preach the sermon today. I want you to look and see why we feel family is important here at Piedmont Park. So I'm going to come sit with you and listen to this song with me and see why families are important.
Trying to count the stars. good and well. Took the mercies of heaven and a covenant love. Still sometimes I wonder to myself, what are you still doing here? Loving me, keeping all your promises faithfully. If I tried to count the ways, that would be like trying to count the stars. What am I still doing here? Being true, making up for past mistakes. Yeah, I'm made of you, but try and count the blessings, dear. We can't count that far. Who were those children on our wedding day? We're not those people anymore, wouldn't you say? But whatever the future or the turns in the road, we're gonna go there together.
Families are important, amen? Maybe you've asked that question before. What are you still doing here? You probably didn't realize that you were going to help write the sermon today. Families are important here at Piedmont Park. Today we're going to look into God's Word, and we're going to find some principles on how to keep our families, on how to keep our relationships, our marriages strong. And I pray that our study today of God's Word will bless everyone, whether you're married or not. Because I believe the principles that we find here, we can apply to all our relationships. Amen? And you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not married yet. Well, maybe someday you will be. Or maybe you say, I don't know if I'll ever get married. Well, the Lord may call you to share what you know from His Word with those who are planning on getting married. So I think these are important for all of us to learn. And if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 12. And let's see what we can learn from one of God's first families today. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, we find this blessing that through this family, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So let's listen to them today and to their story. Genesis 12, verse 1, says, the Lord said to Abram, now this is also just another name for Abraham, we'll find Sarai, and it's also the name for Sarah. But the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. God says to Abraham, get out of town, basically. Now you might be thinking, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with marriage and family? God calls Abraham to leave his hometown, to leave his extended family. And realize this wasn't just Abraham here. He was married at this time to Sarah. So she's a part of this story too. In fact, in Genesis, she's the first woman besides Eve that kind of takes a prominent role. So he calls them away from their past, calls them out of their past in order to follow God. And in a marriage, in a relationship, we are also called out of the past in order to follow not our plan, but God's plan. Genesis 2, verse 24 says, a man will leave his father and mother, leaving the past, in order to do what to his wife? To cleave to her. Now, that's an old English term, to cleave. We think of it like a cleave to separate, but it meant to bond together, to be stuck with your spouse. The statistics on marriage today are daunting, aren't they? Do you know how many marriages make it and how many of them end? They say, and you can fudge the numbers a little bit here and there, but roughly about 50% of marriages end in divorce. Wow. I have stood before happy couples on that most exciting day. They're smiling ear to ear. They're practically walking on air, ready to say their I do's. And no one on that day is thinking, well, we got a 50% chance of this thing working out. No one's thinking that day, and yet it's a reality that we live in. How many of you would take your life savings, everything that you own, everything that you've accumulated, go to Vegas and bet the whole thing on the spin of a roulette wheel? Come on, red. 50% chance that it comes up red. How many of you would bet that? Is that what we're doing when we get married, when we say, I do? Marriages don't just work out. Just like pets, they can't take care of themselves. We need some help to make a relationship work, amen? And we need help to make all of our relationships what God wants them to be. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 tells us, turn there, let's take a look at that one. Philippians 2, verse 2, I love this verse. Paul writing here, writing while he's in prison. And when we were in Rome, we saw what that prison probably was or looked like. And he says these words in Philippians 2, verse 2. Fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Paul says, I want you to be stuck. We need God's super glue in our marriages. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 6, what God has joined together, let no one put asunder. Let no one unstick what God has stuck. God calls Abraham and Sarah to trust the Lord with their lives, with their marriage, to leave the comforts of hometown and leaving the comforts of family and friends. At this time, it didn't make any sense to do that. At this time of living, you stayed with those people you knew. That was safety. You wouldn't separate yourself from your support system. And yet God calls this first family to trust me. A foundation for a lasting relationship starts with trusting God's leading. Have we put God first in our marriage? It makes a difference. It helps us to stick. So God says to Abraham and Sarah, go, and in verse 5 of Genesis 12, they obey, and they leave everything. Here comes the next part of God's super glue and how we get it. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. God again speaks to Abraham. The Lord appeared and said, to your descendants I will give this land. To your descendants, I will give this land. God promises Abraham children. Now, this is huge for Abraham. Because if you notice, it's not a real picture of Abraham, just so you know. I wasn't there. But his beard is not quite dark anymore, is it? Do you know how old he was at this point in time? 75 years old. How many of you in their 70s are looking for God to say, hey, guess what? Guess what's coming your way? But this is huge. Abraham was excited about this news because you wanted to have children. You needed to have children to carry on your name. But if you look back at Genesis 11, verse 30, it says that Sarah, baby did come about, but not what God was talking about. They didn't trust God's timing, and a split happened. Conflict emerged. They're not stuck like glue anymore. There's a wedge driven between husband and wife. So this morning you might be thinking, well, how, Pastor, how do we know if we're following God's plan? How do we know if we're following God's timing for our relationship? I mean, Abraham had God speaking to him. I don't know if it was from the heavens or how, but Abraham heard God speak. Wouldn't that be nice? That would be clear if we had that ability. Does God still speak to us today? Yes, He does. The problem is we don't always take time to listen, do we? We still have God's Word today. It still shines. It still speaks. It still guides. It still directs us if we're willing to read it. Are we taking the time in our marriage, in our relationships, to listen? God called Sarah and Abraham away from their past to His plan. He called them to trust in the Lord's timing, and He called them to one more thing that is important to help a relationship stick. And this goes back to Genesis 12, verse 13. If you turn back with me there, they have gone down to Egypt, and when they get down to Egypt, Abraham comes up with a plan. Sarah's not the only one who comes up with harebrained schemes. Genesis 12, verse 13, or verse 12. We find this, verse 12, therefore it will happen, Abraham says, when the Egyptians see you, Sarah, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, that I may live because of you. Abraham chose his life over his wife, over her honor. Both times the king and the leader said, this is a nice looking gal, and took her. And both times God intervened and returned Sarah to Abraham. It happened twice. That Sarah was a forgiven lady, don't you think? Twice he pulled that stunt. Happened again in Genesis 20. God called Abraham and Sarah to trust his plan, to trust his timing, and to stay committed. God wanted Abraham to make Sarah the top of his list, right below devotion to God. So how about our list today? How about our commitments in life? Now you've seen these commitment lists before, you've heard them, right? What do we say? Well, my priorities in life, God comes first, and then family, and then the other things fall in, work, friends, service. That's kind of what we all say, right? That's our plan. All of us want that, but is that truly how we live? Folks, something's got to be wrong because 50% of marriages fail. Somehow the glue gets unstuck. So what do you think of Abraham's list? If he made a list of priorities, would he have listed and said, well, my priorities are my neck first, my life first, and then God, then family, then work, then serving others. Is that what he would have said? I don't think so. I bet Abraham's list of priorities would have looked just like our desired list. So how do we know if our life is following God's plan, God's call to commitment? Well, folks, if you got the guts this week, I'm going to give you some homework today. Homework at church? You betcha. Why not? Kids have to deal with it. Why not parents? If you got the guts to do it, make a list, make a schedule this week. Make a schedule of the time that you spend and the things that you do. The amount of time you spend at your job, or the amount of time you spend working at home. Write down the amount of time you spend exercising or on the computer, electronics and things. Write down the time you spend on a date with your spouse. The time you spend talking, discussing. Write down the meals you spend together. Home together. Write those things down this week, if you got the guts. What do you think will take the most of our time? What will take the most of our best efforts? And how much of our time is spent on the relationship that you and I want to be stuck like glue? Are we making our relationships inseparable? Folks, everyone who says, "I do," wants their marriage to last. No one wants to neglect it. No one wants to get unstuck, and yet life happens, does it not? Amen, it does. Life can become work to do and bills to pay, and we take for granted that which should be number two on the list. Because after all, they're in. They said, "I do." They'll still be there waiting on the other side. Marriage is a little like owning a plant. Plants need attention, don't they? You got to water them. You got to make sure they get the right light. Sometimes you even got to feed a plant. You got to care for it. What happens if you don't care for that plant? Well, it either dies, or maybe that plant will try to transform itself into a cactus. They don't need much water, right? They can get by with very little. What happens to marriages that aren't cared for? They get kind of prickly too, don't they? Or they do end up dying. So what can we do? Say, "Pastor, what can I do? What are some practical things we can do to keep our marriages strong? What are some things we can do?" Well, again, I said you got homework this week. God said to Abraham and Sarah, "Come out from the past and follow my plan." So this week, I want you to spend some quality time. You and that person that you want a connection with, that relationship, I want you to spend some time listening to God. I want you to pray together. I want you to start your day praying together, or end your day praying together, or both. Every night this week, it won't take you long, open up your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13 and read those verses. In 1 Corinthians 13, read them every night and see if maybe God says something to you the fourth night he didn't say the first night. Read it with your spouse. Maybe you start hearing. Maybe we start hearing God's plan for our lives. Spend some time together. Number two, God said to remember God's timing. Well, plants take time to grow. And fixing a strained marriage or a broken relationship takes time too. It took years for Sarah to become pregnant, but God's promise was sure. Amen? Was not based on time. And God promises to help you in your relationships. So start doing those little things to show that you love that other person. Start doing the little things. Spend time together. There's a wonderful book, if you haven't gotten it, you need to get it. It's called the Love Dare Book. And it is a dare, like the old Truth and Dare game we used to play. This is a love dare. Get that book. It'll help you get stuck again. And there's a to-do list to stay stuck. What's that to-do list? Show interest in your spouse. What's going on in their lives? Show affection to them every day. What did I say? Once a week, show them affection. Once a month, I'll tell her I love her. Once a year, we'll go out to eat. Every day, show them affection. Show appreciation to that person. Ladies, I'm talking to you now. Maybe he doesn't do it all right when he does it, when he cleans something, or he tries. Thank him for doing what little he did do. Maybe he'd just start doing a little bit more. So show appreciation. Show concern. Share your joys. Share your troubles. We got to get stuck like glue again. Number three, we got to reprioritize our commitments. Figure out on your schedule what's draining your time, what's draining your energy. And you might have to say no to some things in order to say yes to your marriage or to your relationship. I want you to start a weekly date night with your spouse. Eat your meals together as best you can. And folks, these dates don't have to cost a ton of money. But be creative. There are things you can do to show affection that don't cost a lot. Write a little note on a sticky note and stick it on the steering wheel of their car. Say, "You're so good looking." Something like that. That will start their day off. They'll be on walking on clouds the rest of the day. Doesn't have to cost a lot. Get a bunch of balloons, blow them up, stick a little note in them, stick it in the balloon, and fill their car full of balloons one day. See if they don't feel like they've been loved. You might think, "Oh, Pastor, come on, this is going to cost a lot. We can't afford all this dating stuff. We can't afford to do it." Really? 50% divorce rate. I say we can't afford not to do it. Those divorce lawyers aren't cheap. And fellas, guys, Valentine's Day is coming up this week. I always love to say that and then look at the expression on the guys' faces. As the eyes get big, there's looks of shock and confusion. "What? You're kidding. That was just a week ago, wasn't it?" They wince. "Oh, no. Gentlemen, it's time to make her feel special. And ladies, you too now. You help him realize that he is your number one." But the key to this commitment thing is not waiting. You don't have to wait for a special event, anniversary, birthday. Don't wait until they're expecting it. Show them that you love them when they're not expecting it. Show them and say to them that you love them in ways they're not looking for. That being said, preacher, you ought to hear your own sermon, right? I agree. So, hold on just a second. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere now. I'm still watching you. Let's see here. What do we find? Ah, this will work. Here we go. Say you love her in ways she's not looking for, right? Ha-ha. You're still here. It's not for you, sorry. Jeanette, happy February 9th. Love you. All the ladies go, "Aw." All the guys go, "Aw." "You're killing us, Pastor." That's right, I am. Fellas, it's time to step it up a notch. Amen? Show her you love her. Show him that you love him. Make it so that it just makes their day. And guys, you're called to be the ones to take the lead in their relationship. Start showing your love. She will follow suit if you do that. But ladies, if your fella is too boneheaded, then you get started. Don't just swallow a bitter pill. You may have to jumpstart things. But you're just sitting back and fuming. That leads to getting unstuck. Well, maybe you're thinking this morning, "Pastor, it sounds good and it's a little funny and all, but maybe you're thinking it's too late for us. You know, maybe you're thinking my marriage is broken." And sometimes they do get broke. And sometimes it's real hard to put them back together. I get that. That's real. Things happen, and you can't make someone love you that doesn't want to. But maybe you're not there yet, because there are actually five stages of marital death. Most times when people come in to talk to the pastor, they say, "Pastor, we're thinking about getting divorced," they're already along stage four or stage five. But if you come in and talk to somebody at stage one, when you first start having problems, there's help out there. But even if you're not at stage one, maybe you say, "I'm at stage four, Pastor, it's broken. I feel like we're all dried up." Maybe you picture your marriage dead on the side of the road. Maybe that's the case. But my friend, I'm here to tell you that I believe in a God who specializes in bringing dead things back to life. And he can do it for you too. He's still doing miracles today. Having a pet takes time, takes energy, effort, and money. Plants need attention to keep them alive. Marriages, relationships, they get unstuck from neglect. But our God has the best super glue ever. Admit your mistakes. We all have them. Ask for forgiveness when you haven't been loving enough. Ask Jesus to help you. Because we can't make our relationships work on our own. But the one who promised to bind you together also promises to keep you stuck together. Because Jesus said, He said, all power in heaven and on earth is mine. How much power? All power. That's the power that healed the lame so they could walk again. That's the power that made the blind in order to see. That's the blind that saves the guilty. That's the power that parted the seas. That's the power that can make you and me loving. That's the power that can make you and me lovable. Do you doubt His power? It's the power of God that can keep us stuck like glue. How many of you today need God's power in your life? Raise your hand if you need it today. In whatever relationship you're thinking about right now, how many of you need God in your life to change your heart, to make you loving? If you need Jesus, I want to invite you to stand to your feet today and tell Him, Jesus, I need you. If you need Jesus to help you start over in your life, if you need Jesus to help you start over in your relationship or in your marriage or in your relationship with your kids, stand to your feet. If you need Jesus to change you into a better person, to a better spouse, then stand up and tell Him this morning. If you need Jesus to change you to be a better kid, to your mom and your dad, tell Him right now that you need Him, and you need Him every hour. You need Him every single day. Tell Jesus that you need Him right now, not tomorrow. Not next week, not next year. His help is available for you and for me right now. All we have to do is ask. Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, You've told us that You're reaching out Your hand to us and that You want to lead us in our lives. You want to lead us on that day when we give our life to You and we're baptized. You want to lead us on that day when we say, I do. So Lord, lead us on so that the day never comes when we say, I don't, either to You or to our loved one. Lord, we're going to hold Your hand now, and we're going to tell You that we need You. We don't want to do it on our own. We don't want to walk the path on our own, but we want to follow You. We want to trust Your timing. And we want to reorganize, we want to recommit things so that we don't become a statistic someday. We want our lives, Lord, we want our marriages to glorify You and to help others know that there is a God above who loves, a God above who forgives. So right now, Lord, in the quietness of this moment, I want to just be quiet and give each of us a moment to speak to You. Thank You, God, for hearing our prayer. As we leave this place, Lord, may we not leave it the same as when we came in, but may we leave full of Your grace, full of Your love, so that we can be the people You want us to be, so we can have the relationships that You want us to have, so that we can shine the light of Jesus to all that we meet, but most importantly, to our family. We love You, Jesus. Thank You for loving us. And all those willing to hold His hand and let Him lead said, Amen. Amen.